And guest in the studio, Esperanza Institute of Texas, Mr. Gary Doolittle. Welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Good. Tell us what Esperanza Institute of Texas is all about and what your mission is.
Well, our mission is to empower the working poor of our community. We have a very low unemployment rate in Lubbock, Texas, as I just mentioned to you off the air. But behind that is a high poverty level because a lot of our people are working at minimum wage jobs or part-time jobs. And we hear all the talk about going to a part-time labor force, and that's really here. I don't know if it was because of the recession or not, but we have a lot of people in those situations. Mm-hmm. They don't make enough money to get them out of poverty. So we want to help them take those steps. There are a lot of really good charities in Lubbock, but they are immediate, what I call immediate or one-time charities. I have a need today. I got to take care of this. And
put your finger in the dike kind of a thing.
Yes, yes. We want to help people develop resources and skills and revenue streams that at least start moving them towards getting out of the poverty cycle. When you're in poverty, if you're in there long enough, if you fall into it, and a lot of people have fallen into it in this last recession, you become hopeless. And when you become hopeless, it's not easy to get out of that because things begin to look futile. I mean, what's the point in doing this? What's the point in trying? It's not going to help. I'm still going to be in poverty.
Sure.
If I've started out at the poverty level, how am I ever going to get out of this? You know, maybe my skills are not there. My education's not there. Maybe there's it's just not working for me, and so you become hopeless. That gets passed to your kids too.
Well, what about people that have just gotten out of college, and can't get a job, or they can't get a full time job? They're underemployed. They're employed, but they're underemployed.
That's a very discouraging situation, position to be in. You think, you know, why did I? In fact, they may be having all those student loans come due, and they're saying, I got to pay these bills for an education that I can't use. Now, unfortunately, for Lubbock, we're a large city, but we're an isolated city. You know, we're out in the middle of nowhere, basically. Those young people are probably, if they have any opportunity at all, are going to move out of here. They're going to go somewhere else. And Lubbock is becoming a retirement city. You know, in fact, we present ourselves that way, and that's good. It's, you know, beautiful park system and nice weather and all that sort of stuff. But we don't have anything for those folks. It's very difficult to help them because they have taken that educational track with the expectation that when they get out, all the promises have been made. You're going to get a job. Well, a lot of them are finding out once you get out there, you know, you're not going to get the job that you thought you're going to get.
So how does Esperanza Institute, get in there and help people do this? I mean, what are some of the programs you guys are in?
Well, for somebody in that particular situation, we'd help them to take the education that they do have and maybe redirect it, find different avenues. For example, I have a neighbor who's a mortgage banker. The recession came. He got knocked out of mortgage banking. He searched for 3 years in California for a job and didn't find it. Came to Lubbock because he had a home here as well, and then went into real estate. So he took his education and redirected it at least somewhat along lines. That's what a young person who fortunately is young enough and flexible enough usually that they can do those sorts of things.
Right. When you're actually working with somebody who is at poverty level, you know, what type of mechanisms do you put into place to help them work their way out of it? Because you're not really trying to escalate them. You're trying to give them the means and the vehicles to do it on their own, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, you have to look at each individual case. Some is going to be helping them discover a skill or a talent or an opportunity that they have. We have, for example, I have a Native American family that we're working with, and he was working and came down with pneumonia, had no money to pay for the medical bill, so refused to go to the doctor. Eventually, his lung collapsed, and he developed heart and breathing problems, all that sort of thing, and he's on oxygen today. But being work-minded, he began to make pottery, paint it and then sell it. We're helping that family by saying, okay, you're doing this. but you don't know how to market it. We're going to help you find a better marketing vehicle than you have right now. We're going to use the internet for you. We're going to find other retail situations for you. We're going to find ways in which you can generate this because the whole family is involved in it. In fact, we're trying to raise funds to help them develop a pottery studio where they have more room because right now it's in the middle of their living room.
Right.
And it's a mess. But so that they can do that. My hope is if somebody sees that happening, of their friends and acquaintances sees that happening, they'll say, hey, I want to find out how I can do something too. I knew a lady when I was in the nursing home business would come around twice a week and bring burritos, homemade burritos around and sell it to the employees. And I got to talking to her one day. She financed her college education for her daughter by selling burritos. That was something that she could do. So there are things that people can do that maybe won't solve the problem, but it will maybe add to the part-time job they have.
Well, I'll tell you, it's really not what you do, it's how you do it. A lot of times, I mean, there are some people that I know that make upwards of $80,000 a year mowing grass. You know, it's just a lot of people don't want to get out there and work. Do you ever find that kind of resistance where people are just kind of complacent if it's not what they want to do or how they want to do it, they just don't do it?
Actually, I find that more among the young than I do to the older ones. The young people, especially the ones got out of college, I have a degree in this. I want to do that, and I'm not going to take this job over here, even though it's available to me, because I want to do this. But that's kind of a stereotype that we have of people that are in poverty, that they don't want to work. The truth is that most of them are working. They just aren't making enough money. Now, maybe because their educational background is such that, you know, they never got a very good education, weren't trained very well in this part of the country. Maybe they come here from somewhere else and they don't have the language skills. Quite frankly, Lubbock obviously has some educational problems in its elementary and high school levels. So maybe they didn't get the quality of education that they needed. Whatever it is, they get stuck in that position. And you know, once you're stuck in that position for a while, you don't know how to get out of it. You need somebody to say, well, there's another path you can follow, but that person's going to have to stand by you. You can't just say there's another path for you to follow and expect that they're going to jump up it and run.
Yeah, a lot of times people just kind of they settle in mentally and settle. Well, I got a question for you, Gary. You're dealing with a lot of people that are at, you know, the poverty level. Mm-hmm. Or underemployed. What do people think about the new healthcare system and the Affordable Care Act? Is this something that, from looking at it from a different angle, because I'm looking at it from where I sit. Laura looks at it from where she sits. Where do these people see it that you're working with?
I don't think most of them really know what impact it's going to have on or for their life. Most of them don't have insurance, can't afford insurance. You know, if I listen to the TV, I can hear both ways. Some are saying the rates are going to be lower. Some are say the rates are going to be higher. I don't think it's going to make a difference. If I don't have insurance because I can't afford $100 a month, I'm probably not going to have insurance because I can't afford $50 a month either. You know, if it's $50 for the insurance or $50 for food, the insurance is going to go by the way. You know, we hear talk about people making a choice between prescription drugs or medicines that they need and food and utilities. People really do make those choices in this community, and there are a lot of them, literally hundreds of them, that make those choices every day. I have to have gas in my car to go to work. So do I,
right.
You know, what do I do? You make those choices every day, and so they're not really tuned in to all this stuff that's going on.
Other than in survival mode.
This survival mode. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Okay. Hey, Gary, thanks for being with us. Gary Doolittle, Esperanza Institute of Texas.
How can we donate to your cause?
Well, I'm setting up a website. Hopefully, it'll be up in the next couple of weeks. And if you'll look for that, I'll get the information to you if you want to put it out there.
But meanwhile, give us your phone number.
Okay. 903-316-0895.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate you being
with
us.
And you're on Facebook as well.
Thank you.
Esperanza Institute.